you're going to sell more tickets. People are going to be interested in your career and are going to support you by coming to your games, coming to your fights. So it's really important for athletes to kind of recognize the changing paradigm of sports and sports marketing.
Hey, Matt and Brandon, welcome to the show. How are you guys?
Hey, Alessandro, doing good. Thanks for having us.
We're doing great. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Today, you know, we talk about not only influencers, right? They got the creators, but all the worlds of athletes, right? So I'm quite curious about it. I think that this is the first episode where we go so in depth. And I am just a little bit familiar with the topic, so I know that I will learn a lot from you guys. But first of all, this is what I'm doing, like, you know, these days with new guests, a new way just to present yourself, and it's called MAP, right? So basically, it's divided in three different areas: mission, achievements, and purpose. So basically, like, you know, why do you to achieve? First of all, you know, achievements is like any notable milestone in your life. And you can go just like, you know, super quick, and then we can go more in depth later in during the interview. And the last one is the purpose. So why, you know, you do what you do. So I don't know who wants to start first on this little exercise.
My mission, what I want to, you know, aim to achieve with Millions here, we're really trying to change the landscape of the sporting world and support every athlete by allowing them to be able to take ownership of their own brand and monetization capabilities. And so that's our mission. You know, achievements, personally, built my first startup to an acquisition with Millions. We've grown the platform to over 4,000 athletes and worked with really cool brands, really cool athletes in all sports. And I think it's been a really exciting achievement getting to that milestone. You know, purpose, why we do what we do. We're entrepreneurs, so I think we're all a little crazy. I think that's the best reason for why we do what we do. We're all looking at the world with a unique lens of trying to figure out ways to make it better. And in this case, you know, we looked at the sporting world and figured out how do we make this better for every athlete in the world and really give them a platform to grow their career from the start to finish to after they retire. And that's what we're doing, what we do. We want to help athletes.
Amazing. Thank you, Brandon. What about you, Matt?
I'll start on the accomplishment side. Before Brandon and I started Millions.co, super fortunate to have co-founded a supply chain data management software company. And as boring as that sounds, it's super mission critical for major manufacturers. And over 11 years, we were able to build that to a multi-billion dollar company, which was really cool with investors in New York, where you are, Alessandro. And having built Ascent to where it is, Brandon and I teamed up to literally change the sports landscape forever, both from a media standpoint and from an athlete's being able to sell online, being able to use our platform to really scale their name, image, likeness, and connect with fans and brands all over the world. So from a million standpoint, Brandon hit the nail on the head in what we're trying to accomplish. But from an objective and maybe a quantitative standpoint, we're building another billion-dollar company as well, which gets really exciting, and it helps us wake up in the morning and bring some of the athletes or all of the athletes along with us into the e-commerce world. And we also have a great co-founder in Bruce Buffer, who's a celebrity. We have other great co-founders who have also founded really interesting and meaningful companies. So it's building another unicorn and changing the sports landscape forever.
Amazing. First of all, congrats to you both for, like, you know, your already, like, you know, historical success. And, you know, I have a question on this for both of you, right? So, Matt, you just said that in, like, you know, previously you built this, like, you know, multi-billion dollar company. And, you know, it's not like that easy even just to imagine. What does it mean, right? Like, you know, we're talking about billions, right? Not millions. So, you know, when tell us a bit more, because we have marketers and entrepreneurs listening, right? So, what was the process there, like, you know, when you sold the company and the feeling, like, you know, involves at the time? I guess it was like a lot going on in your mind, but if you now look back, how do you feel about it?
Well, we have a marketer audience. So I was the VP of marketing for the first 8 years and then moved into VP of growth at the end of my time at Ascent Compliance, is what the company's called, Ascent.com. And as a marketer, we grew that company to over $1 billion. Using mostly influencer marketing, what we would do, and the formula was create really cool, compelling content in the form of webinars with guest invitation. So kind of like podcasts before podcasts were as popular, but it's very similar. And then produce that content, distribute it out, and invite the key buyer personas that we were going after. We would then take that video content and much like happens in the influencer and social areas, take that content and distribute it and establish thought leadership. Through that, we were able to sell software. So influencer marketing was our main channel through the form of webinars and inviting thought leadership experts to our platform and really creating cool content. And literally that channel, so the webinar channel, the digital video channel, and the influencer channel built Ascend to a multi-billion dollar company. For your next question, what did it feel like? And the last exit, we haven't fully exited the company yet. In fact, I'm still a major shareholder, but we did do a partial acquisition to Vista Private Equity. They invested $350 million in 2021. And that was the last big liquidity event, of course. And it felt great. It was a great milestone in the company history, but we're still kind of just getting warmed up. It's the company's late stage, kind of getting ready for a potential IPO or what's next in the future. So that was the background, and that's how we view that company.
Amazing. I can't even just imagine that, you know, that all the stories, you know, behind that. Maybe we're going to do like another episode just on that. And Brent,
I'd love to.
You're right. You also sold your company, right? It was in the consumer products, if I'm right. And you also used influencers. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah. So my last company was completely different than what I was doing prior, because prior to creating that company, I was working with Matt at Ascent. And afterwards, we created Millions. But for about 6 years, I was in the consumer world, invented a camera product for fishing, and built it over 6 years to be one of the number one fishing electronics in the world. And on Amazon, we also were acquired back in 2019. But when building that company, you know, we bootstrapped it. There was just a few of us in the company. We didn't have big budgets. And, you know, Matt can kind of attest, I get pretty crafty on my marketing uses and what I like to do for kind of building up companies. I don't like to go the traditional ads route. I think that there's a lot of organic systems that you can typically build. And with influencer marketing, you know, that's just really one of those channels. You're able to create so much content and leverage so much content to build your business. And whether you're B2C or B2B, content's really kind of one of the key things that you need to for growth and for building that awareness, whether it's online or for other use cases. But with that company was called GoFishCam. You know, we leveraged a lot of professional fishermen, YouTubers, influencers on social media who posted fishing content and really kind of helped to drive the unique content type that our product produced in their channels. So we leverage influencers a lot.
Fantastic. I like also, you know, when I said like, you know, the bootstrapped companies, because I think that it makes you think out of the box instead of like the typical, as you said, you know, traditional route of ads that is definitely easier to do, but maybe sometimes sort of missing piece of the puzzle. So I think that creatively speaking, right, can be sometimes a bit more challenging, but it also makes your brain work in a different way. So thank you for sharing that, both of you, about like a bit more about your, you know, historical like journey so far. And so now about Millions, right? So we said that basically you already said a bit more, right? What is at the beginning, but how did you get the idea? What was that? Did you see something that was like, huh, there is an opportunity here? And if so, what was that?
Sure. Millions started off in a smoky cigar lounge. And the way it got started is one of our friends, or actually three of our friends who were professional boxers, within the span of a couple weeks, were all posting on socials about buying merchandise and memorabilia. But when I asked to buy their merchandise, they had only posted designs. They weren't e-commerce enabled. So we started on Millions to solve that problem, to help bring athletes online. And when I asked them, well, do you know about Shopify? We both met each other in Ottawa, where Shopify is headquartered. And no athletes really had a great understanding of how to build the Shopify store. And when I asked what about building your own website or whatever, athletes weren't interested in that. They were interested in a really easy to use turnkey platform to sell merchandise and memorabilia. So we started out in that area. But then the next biggest area we saw was every single athlete, 100%, wants to engage and promote the brands that they love, and they want to get amazing sponsorship. And though we solved kind of the e-commerce and the streaming part of the product, the next natural evolution to the company was to help connect all the athletes on the platform with the brands that they love. So we've gone into kind of three different types of products on our platform. The first is e-commerce and merchandising. The second is live streaming and watch parties. And then the third, and why where your audience will be really interested, is you can easily book and create a campaign on Millions featuring the world's most popular athletes. And we use, and what's coming is a ChatGPT powered interface to be able to automatically select the athletes that you love for your brand and build them into an awesome influencer marketing campaign, all with four clicks and a couple of keystrokes. So that's kind of how Millions got started and where we've brought it to today.
Is your brand ready to amplify its reach? Well, the Influencer Marketing Factory is here for you. We are a global influencer marketing agency helping brands ignite their growth. From influencer identification to campaign strategy, handling legalities and agreements, to managing shipping and logistics, we got you all covered. We work with hundreds of brands across different verticals, from Fortune 500 companies to direct-to-consumer brands. And we don't just stop there. With detailed ROI analysis, we help brands like yours measure success, transforming impressions into conversions. You can find us at theinfluencermarketingfactory.com or just searching The Influencer Marketing Factory on Google.
Amazing. Brandon, you want to add anything on these?
Yeah, I think, Matt really spoke towards kind of the product and why we decided to start that. But, the only thing I'll add is we've really helped change, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, we've helped change the landscape for a lot of athletes out there. We work with collegiate athletes, professional athletes, and then former athletes who are now kind of in their alumni status. And what's unique about Millions, it's a really tailored platform. So, an athlete joins and we look to see where are they going to be the most successful. Is that going to be with merchandise, memorabilia? If they're a retired player, maybe we're going to help them launch a podcast or a watch party channel or a streaming channel for the team that they used to play for. So we really try to identify kind of where are these athletes the most successful and where are their fans going to be the most engaged. And then we help them build that brand and we help them build that channel that they can leverage for monetization. So it's been a really interesting journey and a really cool kind of concept in the way that we've combined all these different pillars of success into one platform for athletes.
Amazing. And we're going to get shortly in and also revenue streams and how they can build their personal brand and so on. But let's do even a step back, right? So we all know that athletes are, great when it comes to sports, they also have their own personality, right? So I'm not meaning that they are just good at sports. They also are well known for who they are outside of sports. But a lot of the times, now that it's getting better, but up until a few years ago, either they were not believing in social media or they were not taking enough time, right, to post on social media creating content, or sometimes they were doing that, but, clearly the quality of the content was not there, right? They are not video editor. They don't know sometimes how to use, a camera in a professional way. And now finally they are understanding that, right? So my question for you is, because of that reason, how do you help athletes, right, to go from, again, I mostly do sports to, okay, let me unlock my creativity, my content creation, for social media, so again, do you have a sort of formula? Do you have a framework? Do you have as tutorials to help them to understand how to go live, on social media in a more professional, creative way?
So when an athlete joins Millions, they select their products, and you can't force anybody to create a live stream channel. They have to be interested in it. So as you alluded to, Alessandro, they have the opportunity with Millions to create kind of three different products. One of them is to create a podcast. As Brandon alluded to, you can talk about your passports, your experience, current events. And we do have a moderation and a content team that helps steward them through that process. The second product that we have is hosting live watch parties. And that really takes the pressure off the athlete because you're watching your favorite sport with your favorite athlete, just as you would with your friends in their living room. So the pressure to create traditional content and talk about current events and more news style podcasts is really taken away. You get to watch your event. You get to call it as you see it. The athlete gets to be the announcer. And there really is no pressure because what athlete hasn't watched their own sport with their friends in their living room? And that creates a really, really unique experience for the fans because you get to be in the living room of your favorite MMA fighter, boxer, football player. And then for the athlete, it's just really cool because in real time, you get to chat and interact with your fans who are going to ask really cool questions. And once that watch party is over, that's where we get to interact with the opportunity to create cool short form content. And that's great for the athlete because it gets distributed, grows their following. And then it's also great for brands and marketers because they can participate. So during that watch party, the athlete could be drinking their favorite whiskey, like Gold Bar Whiskey, who's one of the biggest sponsors on our platform, and talking about the product and having that product placement and integration during the live stream and the event. So when you think about the watch party product, one, it takes the pressure off the athlete because they're just watching sports. And then it gives the opportunity for the fans to really lead the conversation. And then for brands and for marketers, it's literally the best product integration you could ever get. It's like, you know, the athlete orders Uber Eats while they're hosting a live stream. Like, my God, what app doesn't want to be featured in a live stream being used in real time and being amplified out to, in some cases, hundreds of thousands or millions of watchers? So that's how we make it easy for athletes using our different products. And that's how we make it really cool and compelling for brands and fans as well. Brandon, anything to add on that?
Alessandro, like you said, we work with athletes, right? And athletes are these great content creators, great influencers. They have a lot of fan base. They're kind of that OG influencer, but they're not, you know, their whole career is not built around creating content and influence online. They don't have as much time as traditional influencers to dedicate towards their channels. And so you do run into kind of a wall where, you know, these athletes have limited amounts of time, less know-how to creating good content. And so that was kind of something we had to solve as well when building up Millions and building up all these channels with the athletes. And so, you know, we have a full production team here at Millions that will work with the athletes and the talent, like Matt said, to not just edit the videos, but we'll recommend what equipment to use. We'll in some cases help them get that supply. We'll work with them on topics, on creating the brand around their shows, on speaking points. And then each of the events are moderated. So you have the moderators there to kind of help you along the way. And something that's really unique about kind of our podcast format on Millions is we do live podcasts. So when podcasts are being recorded, I mean, they get cut up and distributed similar to other style podcasts, but when they're being recorded, there allows for the ability of fan participation. And so that takes kind of that pressure off. It helps, you know, create a more dynamic experience that the athletes have a little less pressure on them when creating those episodes. But we kind of support end to end. We'll help with the ideation of it. And then we take our production team and we work on creating all of the kind of post recording social media content. And so we make it easy for athletes to share that online. We also have started to kind of acquire and partner with lots of different social communities and sports communities. And so that allows us to take all that content and have places to distribute it so that it's not all on the athletes to promote themselves. That was something we had to kind of solve, was how to make it easy for athletes and then because they're not traditional content.
No, it makes sense, right? You don't want to reinvent the wheel, you know, necessarily. I like the idea of the watch party because it's, as you guys said, it's very natural. Something you would already do, right? So why not put in a camera there and seeing that? I like that you can interact with fans in real time. I like about, like, you know, the product placement, right? It's natural. It's something that you would maybe already drink while watching that. So why not to put it there? So I like that, you know, you can do many things with one medium at the same time, right? And from there, I'm pretty sure that if something crazy happened during the game and there is a reaction, right, then you can do a video with the top 10 reaction, right, of the season, for instance, right? I'm just thinking out loud here, right? But I'm pretty sure that you guys did something like that, right?
So,
are you an expert in influencer marketing or something, Alessandro?
Yeah, I know I got a little feeling, but
exactly. No, that's exactly right. And the one of the items that we're really proud of, we've had athletes get in the combat sport area get some of the biggest fights of their career. We had one athlete do a call out during a watch party, so he's watching his own sport. It's MMA. And one of the fans asked, well, who do you want to fight next? And he kind of named the top guy in the sport. That got picked up by ESPN. It got picked up by MMA, the one that's owned by USA Today. I forget the word. But he went completely viral because of that live stream call out, and then ended up getting booked on several fights, which are leading up to that, ideally, a multi-million dollar payday for that athlete. And it all started on millions. So the carrot and the opportunity for athletes creating content and engaging with their fans and building a community can also generate millions of dollars in revenue and opportunity down the line, not just with brands, but in their sport. Yeah. And when you think about athletics, every athlete is their own little brand. When they're negotiating their next contract, the team is thinking, well, how many tickets is this athlete going to sell? Yeah. If you have millions of followers, you're going to sell more tickets. People are going to be interested in your career and are going to support you by coming to your games, coming to your fights. So it's really important for athletes to kind of recognize the changing paradigm of sports and sports marketing. And then at the same time, for brands, do you want to just, you know, buy an ad placement on a billboard, or do you want the actual fan? The biggest person on Instagram is Cristiano Ronaldo. So what's better, sponsoring or having the athlete tout it, or having your brand on billboards? Well, in our opinion, having athletes kind of promote that organic content and promote the brands that they love moves the needle the most for brands. And we've got some examples of that on the platform as well.
You know, something else also, like, you know, in addition to content creation, it's also like, you know, a term that I think earlier this year, or like, you know, last year, it got out because, like, you know, finally, for athletes, it was possible to, like, you know, to start like monetizing even during college and so on. And that is like the NIL, right? So name, image, and likeness. For people not familiar with the concept, can you explain a bit more, like, what it is, just in a few words, and also like why it is important, and why before it was like not possible for influencers, why now? Like, I know that it's still a bit like, you know, blurry when it comes to guidelines, but yeah, like what it is and why it is so important for athletes.
Yeah, so NIL stands for, like you said, Alessandro, name, image, and likeness. And it's always been kind of a concept used in sports, or even just kind of with celebrities in general. You know, typically if you're hiring a high-level influencer or a high-level celebrity to do a campaign with, you're signing off on some kind of licensing agreement to be able to use their name and image for your promotion. And so what the big shift and change was that happened a couple of years ago was that NIL, those NIL rights got extended to collegiate athletes. And prior to kind of that shift, college athletes couldn't monetize. So they were kind of getting under the table paid by boosters through the universities, things like that, but they weren't allowed to be paid for their name and image and likeness that was, you know, being built from playing at the highest level in college sports. And so when that changed, it allowed athletes to start monetizing their own name and monetizing their brands. They could build brands, they could do brand partnerships. And, you know, the universities, the boosters, they weren't really able to take kind of advantage of those athletes anymore and own those name and image rights. So that was really the big shift that happened, and obviously opened up us to a much larger marketplace, because before we were kind of stuck to working just with professional athletes and alumni athletes. Now we have hundreds of thousands of collegiate athletes every year that we can work with.
Interesting. And I'm pretty sure that they still have like a lot of influence, right? Also at that young age, right? Because they are part of, like, you know, college, right? On a university, they are part of the group of people, right? It's a really peer-to-peer relationship in that case.
You think of marketing at its roots, you want to gain customers at an early age and you want to keep them for life. It's customer acquisition cost versus lifetime value is always a key metric for basically every marketer in the world and everybody listening to this. So marketing to a younger, more up and coming about to come into their prime earning years is what a lot of marketers and brands care deeply about, and rightfully so. So using the influence and the nil of college athletes has a huge impact on an up and coming demographic. So we're seeing that across the board. We're seeing really big deals happen in kind of the call it sports drinks, energy drinks in the collegiate athlete space, and rightfully so. It makes a lot of sense.
I think that the concept transcends past just sports influencer marketing. You know, Alessandro, I'm sure you've seen similar changes in kind of the general influencer marketing space, where a lot of people are starting to shift to kind of that more influencer marketer who's a micro influencer. Mm-hmm. You typically get better engagement rates. You can get a lot more bang for your buck. So not everyone's trying to work with, you know, the top 1% anymore. They're really spreading their budget across the entire landscape. And when you look at collegiate athletes, you know, it's similar to sports. You have kind of that top 1%, but then you have tons of other young people who have a community, who have a following, and they're influential to people, maybe just not as big of an audience as kind of that 1%. So what collegiate athletes really enable brands to do is, you know, they're not going to be as expensive as professional athletes. They're a lot more kind of tech savvy and content savvy. It's just part of their generation. And so you're typically getting some really great stuff for a much kind of better price and at a higher engagement. People, you know, trust kind of those micro influencers a little bit better right now. They feel a little less sold to and a little bit more trusting of them. So that's really where we've seen kind of a shift in the NIL space coming into collegiate athletes, is it's enabled a lot more micro influencers into the marketplace for sports marketing. And that's also kind of where Matt kind of talked about it briefly, but we have a new AI tool that we built for marketing campaigns for sports. And one of the coolest parts of it is it does smart matching. So you can describe who you're trying to target as a demographic, and it gives you the right influencers from our platform to enable into your campaign and activate with. And so when you look at collegiate athletes, they have a really young audience. So for brands who are trying to target certain cities, you know, those are their local heroes, right? Most cities, especially in the States, look at a lot of their alma maters, look at a lot of their colleges, and they look at the collegiate athletes there for some of that influence. And so that's really kind of what we've seen, is there's a huge landscape now of different types of influencers, and it's hard to find the right one to pair with your brand and your campaign. But yeah, the collegiate athletes are, you know, one to be reckoned with. They're great influencers. Great micro influencers as well.
Absolutely. I like the idea of going like very localized. You know, I do remember, for instance, like, you know, this one very famous book, you know, Tipping Point, they talk about virality that starts from a college, right? From one college goes to another college and so on, right? But you have to start very localized, because as you said, it's a local hero. It's this peer-to-peer connection. So very interesting now that, you know, with the NIL also open to them. It really, like, you know, made a new way to use social media in addition to, you know, athletes. And I also wanted to ask you guys, so basically we talk about, you know, content creation and, you know, understanding how can you go again, you know, from sports and open up to new ways to make money and everything, and, you know, be known in your space. So what are some of the revenue streams that you guys noticed lately? Is there anything like, you know, primarily working? Is it like merchandising? Is it like brand deals? Is it like video licensing? Are you noticing something specific that is working better than others when it comes to athletes?
The way we're seeing, I guess, athletes monetize themselves is largely dependent on the category that they fall into. So alumni do really well at selling memorabilia and signed items and kind of those collector items. Active athletes, people really want to watch events with somebody who's active, can tell really cool, current, up-to-date stories, and it's kind of more trending. And as Brandon alluded to, so the active athletes really get to take advantage of everything. They get to do e-commerce and merchandising. They get to take part in streaming, and brands are usually excited about, you know, the current athletes that are really peaking because they're topical. And then, as Brandon alluded to, the NIL and college athletes, they're great content creators, and they really can represent brands very well. but they probably don't have memorabilia, so to speak, that fans really want to engage with. So for us, when you think of the spectrum, right, from beginning your career to ending your career, there's kind of a different blend of products that we have on the platform that hits the sweet spot, depending on where people are. So just to kind of recap that one, college athletes are really good at content creation, live streaming, and getting kind of product placement brands, and then selling maybe their own t-shirts and hats and hoodies. The biggest athletes, the ones who are current, active, professional athletes, get the best bang for the buck, kind of a third, with brand deals, merchandising and memorabilia, and then just general e-commerce. And then alumni are best in the memorabilia space. Brandon, anything to add on that?
I was just going to say that it's also a little bit seasonal. Like that's what's nice about what we offer athletes is at any time they can pick and choose what to offer and when, and, you know, use our team to kind of help them identify the best trends for when to launch things. But, you know, when an athlete's in season, it's a lot harder for them to build that content channel, stream weekly or daily, go live all the time. Whereas passively, they can kind of earn some income from merchandise and different products that are available on their e-com. During their off-season, they have a lot more time. And so they can fundamentally create a ton of content that our team can help distribute through the season. So we really help take care of kind of those different lag points. But it can be a bit seasonal because during the season, you're going to have a lot of memorabilia, a lot of unique kind of in the moment merchandise that's focused around viral moments happening live in your career. So it kind of bounces across the board for all athletes.
The biggest brand deal that we've ever done on the platform, it was a $1 million deal. It was for an NFL alumni. So Joe Montana, we connected him and his team with the whiskey brand that I just mentioned, Gold Bar Whiskey, who were really excited about doing a localized campaign in San Francisco because they were just opening up a new distillery. They wanted to create a new bottle. And if you look at Gold Bar Whiskey, it's obviously, it looks like a gold bar. And they made the Joe Montana collection of this bottle. And then through live streams and content, and then taking that content to mainstream press, they were able to literally pre-sell and sell out of tens of millions of dollars worth of whiskey. So when you think about the ROI of this athlete influencer campaign, they took a retired athlete, but did live streaming, so new creative media, bundled together with a special product, and it literally changed the trajectory of the company and accelerated kind of sales 3 to 5 years. And they're having by far the biggest year they've ever had by an outshooting expectation. So it is just an example of matching both geography, the right personality with the right demographic and the right branding. You know, it was a huge win for Gold Bar, for Joe Montana and his team, and of course for us at Millions, because we put together the entire campaign.
My last question for you as the last section is about metrics and insights, right, and data. Since you have like a thousand of like, you know, athletes, I'm pretty sure you have a lot of like data points to look at. Anything interesting or like shocking to you, something you were not expecting or something you were expecting and you're happy to see that you can share with the audience today?
Well, I'll go first, and then Brandon, as our resident analytics expert, can jump in. But one of the items that he alluded to was you can get somebody with 1 million followers to do a post, or you can get 10 people with 100,000, or you can get 100 with 10,000. And it comes out to the same kind of, you're marketing to the same number of followers. But what we found is engagement trumps everything. And I think you know this, Alessandro, from your experience, but in the sports world, it's even more relevant and it's even more lopsided because there's so many bots that follow the huge, huge athletes because things get skewed in that space. Going and kind of using the long tail athletes that have really, really dedicated followers and super high engagement rates gets more bang for the buck in most of the campaigns that we've seen. And again, the Gold Bar example, Youth Joe Montana, who's a true celebrity, and they got outsized results. But we've seen time and time again where getting the more long tail athletes with more influence, with higher engagement, gets the best ROI. So that's kind of the biggest takeaway that comes to mind for me. Brandon, anything you wanted to add to that or coming out of kind of the data analysis side of things on your end?
We have a lot of athletes, and obviously there's a lot of data because you have some athletes whose name, image, and likeness isn't from their social medias. You know, we have some athletes who have huge social followings, and so they generate a lot of virality and kind of hype around their name from what they post online. But then you have kind of an older crowd who hasn't really adopted into social media yet, but they are still relevant in media and news. And so we use a lot of tools for kind of tracking across both landscapes, really identify what athletes are trending and when they're trending so that we can help them leverage that. And one kind of cool case study that we had with an athlete was you look at his Google trend line and it was at zero for, you know, a year, never had any volume, came on to Millions, started getting a little bit of recognition, started hosting watch parties on Millions. And every time you host a watch party, you could see that Google trend line really spike. And, you know, as Matt mentioned, typically these clips that are coming from these streams and events are getting picked up by press, they're getting picked up by media, shared to other social channels. And so it's always really interesting to see kind of the data points of, you know, when do these athletes create success, and kind of mimicking and mirroring that across all of the athletes. So we monitor really heavily what's going on with them online in their careers, just in general, so that we can build better systems for them to be able to leverage and monetize off that.
With that said, Matt and Brandon, thank you so much for joining me today. First of all, again, congrats again with all your, like, you know, achievements so far, and best of luck, you know, with Millions. I'm gonna definitely follow your journey and see new features most probably popping up soon. I'm pretty sure about it. And yeah, I want to just again thank you for sharing all your knowledge with us today.
We follow you on LinkedIn, and you have such great content, great posts. So keep up the good work, and we'll keep sharing and following. You guys do great work.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I appreciate your kind words. Matt and Brandon, thank you so much again for joining us. This was The Influence Factor by The Influencer Marketing Factory, and I'll see you next week.